This is the regular meeting of the Finance Committee. I'd like to call the meeting to order and consider the finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency, meeting in person would present imminent risk to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference. So with that, let's see if there's any comments from the public.
I just wanted to comment that John Merchant is not on the meeting today, so Marty is flying solo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do have a comment from the public, John.
Thank you. Do we have a time limit on this meeting today?
A what?
A time limit on this meeting today?
Not that I know.
So.
We do have our 3-minute public comment, of course.
Oh, is that what you're talking about, John?
I'm asking if we're going to be able to ask questions as we go through the budget presentation on items and buckets that are reported. We haven't had but one day to take a look at all of this. Again, this is not per protocol of the meetings, but you know, one day is not a lot of time to go through this. And I'd like to be able to ask questions as we go rather than to accumulate all the comments that might get answered during the presentation.
Yeah, you can ask questions as we go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
I have no more hands raised.
So Paula, are you going to give us this update?
Yes, we can go ahead and start with our finance monthly updates. Wanted to talk a little bit about our current finance reporting. Just a little bit of information relating specifically to the items that are still outstanding. We have made significant progress in wrapping up the 21 audit files. Right now we're working on doing some completion for some journal entries to get a new trial balance sent to Richardson and Company CPAs. Our intent is to have that to them by August 12th. Right now we have 190 out of 514 balance sheet accounts that still need to be reviewed. Additional tasks remaining is to complete the balance sheet account review and corrections, prepare the journal entries, get them posted, and submit the final trial balance to Richardson and Company. So, additionally, we have work paper files that need to be sent to them as well, including the footnote documentation. And then other items that are still outstanding that don't have any impact on the draft audit are completing the fixed asset entries and updating and correcting missing fixed assets, and then reconciling the fixed assets, banking, and general ledger modules. One of the things that I want that's not in this report, but I wanted to also update the committee, is that we have a couple of things that are going on right now, and in order for us to get the draft trial balance to the auditors by the 12th, we have to get all of these entries in, and this would potentially impact us getting financials to the board on the August board meeting. And so this is really something for Marty, for your direction. We can certainly do the financials for August, but it's going to impact the time frame in us getting the draft 21 audit to the auditors for their review. And so my priority is to get the 21 audit wrapped up and to them. If we delay it any further, they're already starting to receive work papers and files from other customers of theirs to start working on the 22 audit. And so they're going to be wrapped up on that starting mid-August and probably until October. So we really want to get the 21 audit done. But again, in order for us to get that done, we need to focus all of our efforts with our existing staff to get those entries completed, get all of the research and evaluation done. And then to have the financials, it's also going to require a little bit of research as well. So ultimately, Marty, I'm going to allow you to make that call, but our recommendation would be to postpone any potential financial reporting for 23 until September. That will give our team some time to get the 21 done and input, and then we can start working on the 23 journal entries for AR, payroll, and other items in the general ledger.
So I agree that audit is the highest priority.
Okay. All right, thank you for that. And then moving forward to the contract for the ERP, you know, again, this has some conditions on this as well. Because we are cleaning up the general ledger and getting entries in that haven't been made, you know, we also have fiscal year 22 to take into consideration. And so the Tyler requirements to assign a project manager, bank reconciliations, chart of account balancing, employee listing, and AP vendor listing. The employee listing and AP vendor listing are simple. We have those and we've already submitted those. But it's the bank reconciliations and the chart of accounts balancing. We need to have 22 audit completed in order for us to have that information to Tyler before they'll assign us a project manager. So this is going to push back our project start date significantly. And I don't expect us to have this started until the beginning of 2023 calendar year. I don't know what the timeline will be once they've assigned us a project manager or how long it's going to take them to sign us a project manager. But it's because we are delayed with the accounting items, it's going to significantly impact the ERP progress. And so that's just one of the things that, you know, because we're so backlogged with the accounting and we've had such high turnover, you know, this is another thing that's affected with it. So just so the committee is aware, you know, we are working towards getting these items done, but we have few staff. Again, we're training them all from scratch. We're conducting trainings with Great Plains so that we can do things correctly in the system and stop doing things wrong and putting Band-Aids on it. Moving forward with the recruitment, we've put the future recruitments for a county manager and accountant on hold. We're planning on outsourcing the accounting workload again. We've sent out a couple of requests for quotes, but again, one of the things that I'm working on now or that I'm running into is that a lot of the CPA firms that we've reached out to are working on the 22 audits. And so this is one of the things that the availability for them is going to be restricted until after October. And so it's just something that we have to take into consideration. You know, timing is everything. And right now we just kind of have bad timing because we weren't able to facilitate the contract with Ike Bailey back in May. We currently have the AP position and the HR payroll position open. We're currently recruiting for these positions and hopefully we'll have them filled soon. Utility billing. So we are conducting random audits of our utility billing system in preparation for the Tyler Encode implementation. One of the things that we discovered is that there are a significant number of residents that had 96 gallon trash cans incorrectly charged for 4 months. It was really random. So not every resident who has a 96 gallon trash can was incorrectly charged. We're working with the programmers at Utility Star to figure out why this happened, how it happened, and we've corrected the rates on our end, but it's going to create a significant adjustment to those residents that were affected. And again, I want to be clear that not every resident with a 96-gallon trash can was affected. So those that were affected by this will receive a reduction in the August statement of $16.92, which is the difference between the $44.97 that they should have been charged versus the $49.20 that they were charged for March, April, May, and June. Moving forward, all of those rates have been corrected for the residents that were impacted. And they should be billed correctly on the July statements. Moving on to the water shutoffs, every month we're working with the residents that have the highest past due balances. We have shut off two residences last week. Both of these homes were unoccupied and in foreclosure. So we're also making attempts to collect the debt through other channels, and we're going to report back to the Finance Committee on options. We had revisited a contract. Well, we had initiated a contract negotiation with CB Merchant several months ago to start submitting past due balances from former residents to collections. And this might be an option that we would use for the homes that are unoccupied and in foreclosure in an attempt to collect the debt. We have about $8,000, slightly over, in past due balances. These are from former residents. We were not able to collect through escrow for some reason, whether it be a tenant, the house was sold, or again, it's a vacant home like these two that we've shut off. And so this is one of the options that we're reviewing, and hopefully we'll get some of these either written off or we'll be able to collect them through the collections agency. And so for that, I'm going to open that up to any questions.
Amelia, do we have any?
John Sullivan has his hand raised.
Okay.
Thank you. Could I get some kind of understanding of the 190 accounts that have yet to be reviewed? What is the nature of these 190 balance sheet accounts?
So I'm not sure I understand what specifically you're asking, but what I can give you is we have 514 balance sheet accounts that maintain the general ledger. And these accounts need to be reviewed in their totality to make sure that there is no missing entries, there are incorrect entries, ensuring that the beginning and ending balances between 1920 and 2021 match. And that's the type of review that we're conducting on these accounts.
So I understand that you're apparently not directly involved in this. So since I want to move on to this contract for enterprise resource planning, my question is, can you explain what you mean by chart of account balancing? Can you tell me what your definition of chart of accounts balancing is? Is this the trial balance or the balance of the general ledger's out of balance?
The chart of accounts encompasses everything, not just the balance sheet accounts. The chart of accounts is revenues, expenditures. It's all of our cash accounts, our banking accounts, the bank reconciliation, the entire thing.
So you're telling me your trial balance is not in balance?
No, I'm not telling you our trial balance is not in balance. What I'm telling you is that we're reviewing these accounts and these entries have not been made, or they may be incorrectly made in the wrong accounts. And that's what we are reconciling for fiscal year 21. We're reviewing for the chart of accounts. Before we can implement a new system, we have to have fiscal year 22 reconciled and balanced before we can enter that information into a new system.
Paula, how long have you been with the district?
John, come on. I think you're getting off base here.
I'm trying to find out why the director of administration, who's supposed to be accounting savvy, hasn't finished this work going back to 2021. This is unacceptable to anybody who has been in the district for more than 5 minutes. The amount you're worried about a utility billing for, you know, garbage cans that $16 off. I'm going to tell you, Marty, that I presented 3.5 weeks ago a $44,000 mistake for Murrieta Gardens, that we've been receiving a bill for a piece of property that doesn't even exist anymore. And that's not even listed in the finance committee items as a concern. You guys are glossing over major, major, major problems as if you need to run to the finish line here, and you haven't even finished up 2021's audit, and there's 150 general ledger accounts that the director of administration hasn't dealt with personally?
Your 3 minutes is up, John. Thank you.
So the board has taken the position that these audits are the highest priority, and we've tried to provide resources to get those things done. And so that's where we are right now, is trying to get these things done. So I share your concern that the financials are not where they should be. It's very important to the district to have these correct and completed. So let's go on to the, unless there are other comments from the public.
Yes, sir. I do have a comment, a hand raised from Gail Boland. Go ahead, Gail. You still with us? Oh, you got it. Yes. There you are.
Paula, when you say fiscal year 21, is that 2021 or is that 2122? How come you stop saying 2021 and just call it fiscal year 21?
It is fiscal year 2021. It's just easier to call it fiscal year 21 because that's the end year that we're the year that, on June 30th.
That's fine. As long as I know, I just have been scratching my head which year it was. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I have no more hands raised.
Okay. So Paula, you want to go on to the budget?
Sure.
Okay. I have it up on the screen.
Thank you so much. So essentially, you know, there's a lot of numbers in this, and I'm going to go over this really briefly because we're going to have a much larger conversation at the August board meeting. Ultimately, because of the Prop 218 defeat, there have been a lot of revisions to the budget, mainly on the expenditure side. Drainage and security obviously are still increased by the 2%, and the revenues are going to maintain, the rates are going to maintain the existing 21-22 rates. So we're just carrying those forward. We have done an update to the proposed revenue budget. And then we've also considerably reduced the expenditure budget, which is now at $8.38 million. We have significantly reduced a lot of our operating expenses to cover the shortfalls. And I'll walk you through just each one of these funds very quickly. So the administration property tax allocations are used to subsidize all of the funds, not just drainage and security this current fiscal year. Again, you know, we're carrying over the rates. So there is significant deficits in water, wastewater, solid waste, funds. And while the property tax subsidies will bring water, wastewater, solid waste, and drainage funds whole, security is still in a deficit of about $382,000. We'll talk a little bit about that when we get to that fund. So administration revenues projected to be about 2% higher. It's primarily due to increased property taxes. Once new homes that are being built are being sold, then that would obviously increase the property assessment values of some residents. And we would see an increase, slight increase in our property taxes based on new revenue. We're planning on expenditures coming in less 9% less than the previous year based on the reallocation of insurance and risk management costs and reduction in additional professional services costs. So 100% of administration is allocated to other funds based on the cost allocation plan. This allocates all salaries and operating expenses, which are the discretionary expenses, to each of these funds based on various criteria. So moving on to the water fund, we're projecting a $2.68 million revenue. It's a 7% decrease over prior year in projections. We're taking into consideration future water restrictions for the drought. Obviously, as everyone is aware, decline in water usage results in decreased revenues. The original Prop 218 had a five-year strategy to increase reserve contributions. However, the reserve contributions will remain the same in the amount of $14 per month per resident. Expenses are expected to increase 2%. This is slightly an increase due to inflation, professional services, admin cost allocation, and then other materials and supplies increases. We did reduce operating to bare bones. One of the things that I think everyone should be aware of is that the audit has nothing to do with the revenues and expenditures in the sense that we do zero-based budgeting here. So we basically start from scratch. We start from zero and say, okay, what do we need? What does each fund need to operate at its, to maintain existing service levels and continue functioning without cutting services, you know, not being able to maintain or repair? This is a zero-based budget. And so moving forward, what we did with the water and the other funds subsequently, because of the rate increase defeat, we've reduced a lot of our discretionary operating expenses to hopefully mitigate some of the impacts of the inflation that's going on right now. So moving on to sewer, again, sewer revenues, we projected them to increase 2% based on the potential of new homes. Again, reserve contributions will stay at a rate of $14 per month. We have expenditures increasing around 7%. A lot of this has to do with the chemical costs. Chemical costs have increased exponentially over the last year and continue to rise. We have a subsidy from the administration fund by way of property taxes of about $204,000 and some change. And we're going to work with the vendors to determine if there's any cost containment strategies, ways that we can mitigate some of those inflationary costs while continuing to provide the operational staff the tools and equipment they need to continue to provide services, maintain our existing service levels. Drainage fund is subsidized by property tax revenues as well, slightly less than last year. I believe last year we subsidized $86,000. This year, the projected shortfall is $70,000. Again, we do continue increase in expenditures about 20%. This is specifically related to the general liability costs across all of the funds. Typically what had been done in the past is it was 100% paid through administration and then allocated out through the admin allocation at the end of the fiscal year. And ultimately this should be relationary to the types of general liability that we insure for and the funds that it impacts specifically. And so this is primarily the reason for the increase in the drainage fund. However, we have a decrease in the shortfall. So it's kind of a good thing here. So solid waste, we contract with California Waste Management and we are a pass-through. And so ultimately what Cal Waste charges us is what we charge the district residents. Unfortunately, what happened for the 21-22 fiscal year is during the budget development process, Cal Waste provided us with a preliminary waste cost. These were their rates that they had anticipated for the 21-22 fiscal year. And we moved forward with the Prop 218 notifications based on this preliminary rate increase set by Cal Waste. Towards the end of that fiscal year, right before we prepared the budget for adoption, Cal Waste increased those rates and said, oh no, these are our final rates. And because we had done the Prop 218 notification and were in the process of adopting the budget, we could not raise those rates. So in 21-22, the district absorbed those rising Cal Waste costs. Fast forward to 22-23 fiscal year that we're currently in, and we attempted to right size those rates with Cal Waste to offset any more absorption by the district. What ended up happening with the Prop 218 defeat is that those rates stay the same for 21-22. So now we're in a two-year deficit. We're not able to charge the residents what Cal Waste charges us. And so in order to offset that cost, we eliminated the free bulk waste pickups that serve maybe a little over 600 residents annually. What this does is it reduced the cost to the district about $3 per residence. However, the organics waste, which we cannot charge the residents beginning January 1 of 2023, this is a cost that the district will have to absorb. And because of these other cost increases and the increase in the organics waste, plus the 2 years worth of stagnant rates, it's gonna be a projected deficit of about 110,000 roughly. And we're gonna be using property taxes to subsidize solid waste so that it doesn't, so we can balance the fund and it should be whole at the end of the year. So moving on to security. So security is also subsidized. However, we're only able to allocate $266,000 this year. That's the remainder of the projected amount of annual property tax revenue that we expect to receive. You know, obviously, if we receive more than the $775,000 that we're projecting, we would rework that and provide the remainder to the security fund. However, this is expected to create a $382,000 deficit at the end of the fiscal year. So we're going to have to monitor expenses and provide the board future solutions to bridge that funding gap. One of the ways to do that is the security tax measure. However, that won't go into effect until the following fiscal year. So this current fiscal year, we're going to have to monitor all of our expenses very closely and determine, you know, what we can cut and where to ensure that this fund will be balanced at the end of the fiscal year. Moving forward to the CIP, we have reviewed Association Reserve Infrastructure List. We have projects that we prioritize based on funding and staff capacity. All of our fiscal year 21-22 projects, with the exception of the four below, have been completed. Projects 22-03-01 and 22-07-02, those were canceled by the operations team. 22-03-01 was partially completed for 21-22, but it requires an additional appropriation to complete the project in full. So we've carried that over into fiscal year 22-23 and created a new project number and updated the scope to get this project completed. Project 22-09-04 was initiated in 21-22. Obviously, it's not completed. We do expect to have this partially completed in 22-23, with any remaining funds should be carried over into 23-24, and that's the ERP project we talked about earlier. So fiscal year 22-23 CIP includes several projects that are partially funded through state funding. This is the SB 170 funding that we received for three projects, and those were approved in fiscal year 21-22. We've added new appropriations for upcoming 22-23 and separated out where the state funding versus reserve funding is allocated. And so also attached here is a quick budget overview with the revenue assumptions and the budget expense assumptions, along with the new attached sample bills that reflect the rates staying the same and what the increases are for drainage and security. And so with that, I will go ahead and open that for questions.
Okay, I have a question. At our last meeting on July 5th, we asked about how you were going to prepare this budget. And we said that we wanted not to be a deficit budget. But you're giving us one here. And I think we need to relook at the budget to get rid of the deficit.
Well, the deficit is going to be in security, and that's, you know, we've cut areas in security that we can, and it's mostly operating expenses. There's really not a way to offset those expenses. You know, there's several options we could entertain. You know, there are unrestricted reserve in other funds that we could use. There is some unrestricted fund balance we could use for security. But ultimately, that's a decision that the board has to make to give us the authority to appropriate those funds to balance the fund out.
I think we need to go back and find some more discretionary spending and maybe even service cuts. We specifically requested that we not have a deficit budget. So I would recommend that you and I get together and go through every line on there and find places that we can cut because it didn't meet the direction of the committee's last meeting. With regard to the personnel count that you have on here, is that valid? Is it what we expect, 41 and a half people?
I'm sorry, what was your question? And I didn't hear the whole thing.
The personnel listing just before the budget.
Uh, do you have that posted?
Yeah, right there.
First page of the budget.
Is that correct?
Yes, that is accurate.
Okay. So with regard to the...
Actually, Marty, I take that back. No, this isn't correct. There is the inspection and compliance officer position. It does not exist. So we actually still have 14 and a half staff in operations.
Okay.
I think that was a carryover from last year's budget that wasn't removed. So
if
I'll have that updated.
If the sergeant patrol is frozen, why do we have a one in the column?
Because it's still an authorized position. It's frozen, so it's unfunded, but it's still authorized. And we have to report all authorized positions in the budget.
Okay. With the capital improvement projects, which ones on this list are funded not from reserves?
So if you look at the list down on the CIP, it says state funding SB 170.
Mm-hmm.
These you'll also find in water and wastewater, the portion that's being funded from reserves. We have the water plant chlorine to gas, chlorine gas to, I believe it's sodium hypochlorite. Mike, if you're on, you can correct me if I'm wrong. And then we also have the wastewater and then the Granley's safety improvements. And so those three are in the water and wastewater, and you'll see the amount that we're pulling from the reserve, the water replacement reserves, and then the state funding amount that we have set aside for those three projects as well down at the bottom.
So I'm gonna ask it a different way. Are there some that are not funded by reserves?
There are no projects that are unfunded by reserves.
That are funded by reserves. Excuse me. Are there some of these projects that you can't fund by reserves? You have to fund them by another means?
No, there are no projects that are not funded by reserves.
Okay. So this total is like $6 million. And we got what, 10 or 11 million in reserves?
About that, yes.
So we're going to take a big chunk out of reserves just this year if we do these projects, is that right?
That's correct.
That's a big whopper for 1 year, isn't it? Is there some way we could prioritize these so that maybe we don't take such a big chunk out of reserves in 1 year? I think Mike did a study to determine whether or not we would go below zero in any year. But that, I think, made the assumption that we had a reserve funding increase this year. Have we gone back to see what happens without a reserve funding increase?
Yes, we have. We have. We've smoothed everything out. And we'll have that as part of the budget presentation.
So we're not going to go below zero with all these projects?
We would not go below zero, but you have to remember that we are bringing in reserve contributions every month through the rates. Obviously it's not enough to offset all of our expenses that we plan on this year. Again, as time goes on, just like we found with 21-22, there are some projects that, I would certainly assume Mike and his team would prioritize and determine whether or not they can be pushed back further or if these are immediate needs. So this is just what we're presenting with what our immediate needs are based on the reserve study and projects that they prioritized for this fiscal year.
I think it needs at least a closer look at how we're going to actually fund them and not go below zero. And And what happens in the future years if we take such a big chunk out of here? The other thing I saw in the budget was you put a sample bill in there. I'm not quite sure why, but under solid waste, you had an increase, a very slight increase, but I don't know how we can even have an increase at all. You see what I'm looking at?
Yeah, I do see that. You know, I'll have to review that. It could just be a rounding error from a formula that's in there. So I'll take a look at that and find out what the actual rate is.
Why are we even doing this? Because the rates are already set.
It's to notify the residents what they're going to be paid. We are increasing the drainage and security. And so that's really just a notification of what those changes are.
Okay. Well,
Marty, can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah, and go ahead. John Sullivan.
Okay.
I am starting my 3-minute timer. So when you hear it,
Well, Amelia, I appreciate the 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you.
So on the capital improvement projects, Marty, it's clear to me that the $367,000 under security for cameras, or the $332,000 for cameras, you generate $1,200 of security impact fees that aren't normal reserves, that are security impact fees collected at $1,200 per house. I'm assuming that you would just match up when you put those cameras in with that $1,200 that comes in. On the water and wastewater, I'm assuming that you would not do the condition assessment. It seems to me you're talking about unit number 6 for some particular reason, because we had one failure that cost a lot of money. You want to go do that whole subdivision? You've got a bunch of other subdivisions that are much older than unit 6 that you're not talking about an assessment on. I just don't understand the whole logic of that one. When it comes to the $694,000 smart meter replacement, that's not taking our existing meters and just changing them out when they break. That's overhauling 1/3 of the entire meters in the district to a new system that allows us to have better data on a daily basis so that we can look for leaks. That's clearly has to be deferred out of this budget. That's $694,000. You got to move that to a future year when you actually have real money that you can spend on that. That's $700,000. It's unnecessary for this particular year coming up. That's the critical review I think you're talking about doing on each of these items. Rain harvesting and recycle water, $250,000. That can get shoved off a year. That's not crucial at this point in time. We have plenty of room in our storage reservoirs for another 400 houses easily. Yes, we'd like to have water to sell, but you haven't even done the rate study on how to sell recycled water to the community. So you're at least a year doing that. So why make everybody mad and collect more recycle when you don't know where you can sell it and how much you can sell it for until you do the study? So that's how I would approach that total and knock it down about $2.5 million. And then I look at 1.2 million of it being funded by the state, and you're back down to probably 3.5 to 4. That's my comment on CIP.
Thank you very much.
Actually, that's what I want to do. I want to dig a little deeper into these things, and that's a huge appropriation for 1 year. But no doubt there's some of these need to be done, and we need to plan for them to be done. But I agree that there's some things probably don't need to be in there this year. So that's what I hope that maybe when we do the same sit down on the budget items that we can talk about the CIP also. Are there any other comments out there?
I don't have any.
Marty, I have some comments on the departments that I'd like to ask, if I could, so that they can be answered. They aren't going to be answered today because I don't believe that staff's ready to answer them. But I don't understand on water why we're $191,000 less in residential water sales, unless we've already made a determination that we're going to cut back mandatory or have mandatory cutbacks, because I'm assuming that the revenue, the residential water sales revenue and the commercial water sales revenue that's shown for 2021, 2022 year end, I don't know why those are projections. I assume you know exactly what you've invoiced every customer for the year, to see why that number is different. Did we not bill 2.4 million? Did we not bill 335? Why is it down $200,000 if it's mandatory rationing or recommended reductions? I understand that. But why in the world would we look down here in expenditures for the water department and have 79,000 in salaries in 2020, 463,000 in 2021? Is that the audit amount that we're presenting to the auditors? And then 2022 for salaries, 402. And then you come along for this proposed year and it's 131,000. How is that even possible to be 3x or one third of what you were in the last year for salaries for water? I don't understand that kind of number being in a budget, particularly the amount of time we've had to study this. Same kind of situation in wastewater is, how do you get $39,000 more revenue in wastewater sales? That's, you know, $39,000 at $60 a month is one heck of a lot of new customers. It's 650 new customers. Something's wrong there. Let's go down to the drainage fund. Why is the drainage fund up from 178 to 213? 178, 178, 178, and then all of a sudden you project 213. Well, that's $35,000 at, I think the average drainage is 507. That's $35,000.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, you know, if you don't listen to these questions now, you're going to get them chapter and verse at the board meeting, because I'm going to get up there 10 different times. I think we need to deal with this budget in a serious fashion. And that's why I asked at the beginning, are we under a time limit? This is you're at the crossroads of this district right now. The district has no credibility. It hasn't turned out an audit for 2 years ago.
And Director Pohl has the authority to let me unmute you and let you continue speaking. Are those your
words? I think he's done. I understand what he's saying. There's some anomalies in here that need to be addressed. And hopefully maybe Paul and I could address those anomalies and have them be more understandable at the next presentation. So, are there any other comments out there?
No, sir, I don't have any other hands raised.
Okay. Does staff have any other comments on the budget and capital improvement projects?
I have none, thank you, Marty.
Okay, well then let's go on to item 6 about this ordinance on organic waste. This is just an update of what's going on.
And Paula will give us that.
Yes, so with the organics waste, CalRecycle requires that we adopt an ordinance to establish the rules and regulations for organic waste disposal. And we are currently getting that information from CalWaste in conjunction with working with CalRecycle to get this on the agenda for August. It needs to be a public hearing, so it would be posted on the August budget, board meeting, and then adopted in the September. And this would require us to maintain certain rules and regs to ensure that we are ensuring our residents are following the CalRecycle organic waste disposal requirement.
Is there like a, I don't know what you call it, some model ordinance that we're going to try to follow?
We do. We have one. We've received it from Cal Waste. We also have City of Galt's examples. We're reviewing those right now so that we have those prepared for the August board meeting. Right now, there are some things that we're working with Cal Waste on as far as the requirements go. But we'll have all of that finalized for the August board meeting.
Our target is the first of the year to have them in the books.
Well, we January 1, 2023 is when those organic waste charges occur for us, and when they will start requiring those specific pickups. So we're still trying to iron out what that looks like with Cal Waste, if that means they're just setting things in a separate bag, if they're setting it separately on the curb, if they're putting it in their yard and garden, or if they're getting an extra container. We're not sure what that looks like at the moment. But this is the preliminary piece of it to get us in compliance with CalRecycle's requirements.
So what's the hurry? Why couldn't we put it off a month or so? What's the hurry?
Well, we were supposed to have this to CalRecycle back in April. Because we've had significant delays with the Cal Waste and trying to determine what it specifically looks like to the residents, what we're responsible for as far as the rules and regulations and what Cal Waste is responsible for. So again, we're still ironing that out, but we are behind in getting this done. And that's just primarily because of the negotiation piece with Cal Waste.
Okay. So you have it almost done or something? Is it almost done? The wording?
I'm sorry?
Is the wording almost done? Or you almost have it put together, or you still have?
Yeah, we almost have it put together. We're still finalizing. Even as of this morning, we were in contact with Cal Waste on a couple of items. So we'll have it finalized and ready to go for the August meeting.
Okay. So let's go to item 7, security tax.
And I'm going to take care of that. Tom asked me if I'd give a brief update. At the July 20th board meeting, the board approved resolution R-2022-18, which directed staff and authorized staff to put the ballot measure on the ballot for the November 8th, 2022 election. It will be measure letter R. So we got that. We have the actual wording in the measure, which you can find in last month's board packet. Under this resolution, it's ordinance, it's Exhibit A, it's the ordinance that will give the district the authority to implement this tax if it's voted appropriately by the voters in November. The only thing left to do right this minute is to get an argument over to the Sacramento County Elections Department, and we're working on that. We have until August 11th to get that done.
Okay.
And then we start our education.
Say that again.
And then we'll start the education of the community for what the special tax will do. And the board voted. The board voted to put it on the ballot for a $316 annual parcel tax for every parcel in the district.
I remember that.
You do or you do not?
I do.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay. All right, well, thank you.
And we do have a question from Gail Boland. And Gail, I will do my very best to answer.
Why did you change, for months you've been calling it Measure X? Why did you change it to Measure R?
Oh, because we, until the board voted the resolution, you voted for us to be able to put it on the ballot, the Sacramento County Elections Department wouldn't give us a letter, right? They wouldn't assign one. And so as soon as we had the authorization to do it, we talked to the lady at the elections department and we asked, Tom asked if he could have Measure R be our letter, and it was still available. And so we got it. So Measure X was just kind of like that unknown.
Placeholder. Okay. Any other questions?
I don't have any other hands raised.
We're on the director and staff comments. Does staff have any comments?
I have none, thank you.
You and I need to find a time to get together. So with that, looks like we're done. Thank you all for attending and hope to see you at the next board meeting. Take care.
Bye.